So I'm Michelle Tatey, so thank you so much for having me here today to talk to you about my photo voice work with women living with HIV. So it sounds like some of you in the room are familiar with photo voice. It's basically a CBPR method where people use photos to identify and express their issues and concerns. And I thought it'd be good to start by telling you how I got involved with using this method. So my background's in community health and prevention, and I've been developing prevention programs for women living with HIV for a number of years now. And if you're not exactly familiar with that concept, it's very important to help women living with HIV adopt safer sex skills and talk to their partners about safer sex, because they can protect themselves against any infections that would further compromise their immune system. Gives them the sort of courage and skills to talk to their partners about negotiating this disease that still has a lot of stigma associated with it. And of course, if women are having safer sex, they're not transmitting the virus to other people as well. So I've been doing this work for a while, and when I first started doing it, I was developing these programs centered around those topics and concepts that I was just talking about. We were helping women use condoms, disclose their status to their partners. And these skills were important to women, but they really wanted a whole lot more. And I felt like what we were doing really wasn't well matched to women's lived experiences. Some women weren't even at the point where they could use condoms or disclose their status. They had far greater basic needs, homelessness issues, violence issues. And some women who didn't have those extreme needs also just said, similar to what we heard in the last project, you know, there's this sort of big part of our lives that's going on here that no one's addressing. All these things we do outside of the time that we're having sex and disclosing are affecting those behaviors. We really need a better space to kind of tell our story and talk about kind of what we need and want. So that's kind of how I came to do Photo Voice. I had known about the method. This is one of my participants who, based on the project, did a story in the newspaper as well. And I wanted to do Photo Voice for two key reasons. As a researcher developing these programs, I wanted to hear more from the women about what they needed. But knowing that Photo Voice was this empowering process, I thought, in addition to it being a research method, the women could get something out of it as well and have the space to tell their stories. So that's how the Picturing New Possibilities project came to be, and that's what I'm going to talk to you a bit more about today. Fairly simple concept in that I recruited women and gave them cameras, gave them a little bit of that background I just gave you, and said, I want you to share your lives, your assets, your challenges through these photos. This is the way the project worked, and if you've done Photo Voice or have heard about it, it was a fairly typical Photo Voice setup. Women came to an initial session where they learned about the project, what it involved, how to take pictures, the ethics of taking pictures, and then they went out, took their photographs, came back, we met as a group and discussed what they had taken, if they shot any images that captured problems or challenges, one-on-one and as a group, we problem-solved, and then finally we did collaboratively plan a photo exhibit. At least I did one formal exhibit with them. The women went off to do some other activities as well. And when all this was done, I interviewed each participant one-on-one to get a sense of their experience in the project. The project, I've done a couple of these projects. The one I'm talking to you about today, 13 women living with HIV in the Midwest. Most of them were African American. Their ages and the years living with HIV ranged pretty widely, though. A lot of data in Photo Voice projects, and basically what I did was a theme analysis, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into it a lot here, but can answer questions later, but we had group data, individual data, photographic data, and I just analyzed this to get a sense of the key themes. So those key themes, basically women's stories and photos kind of serve these functions, or these things came up. You'll see that a lot kind of happened in this project, so I'm only going to talk about the three things that are starred. I'm going to give you some examples of photographs that represent challenges, then move on to talk about transformation, which is the notion of kind of maybe starting with a challenge, but getting to that point of hope or strength, and then end talking about how the photos were also a source of problem solving and action and advocacy. So we'll start with challenges. So this is a bowl of red ribbons, which of course is the sort of symbol of HIV, and a woman took this picture of the red ribbons on a calendar just to talk about this sort of struggle of HIV kind of taking over all these different aspects of her life and how that's changed for her a bit over time. She says, HIV is everything in my life. It's always been there. People say HIV is not who you are, but it is. That's where I put myself. That's how I survive. I'll literally introduce myself to people and be like, hi, I'm positive. That's who I am. You need to know. It used to be a defense mechanism for me because it hurt more to tell people later and have them be ignorant. But now if you choose not to be part of my life because I'm positive, then I want you to walk away. This photograph represents a sort of different type of challenge. This is a woman, she's a very young woman, 18 or 19, had been infected by somebody, she didn't know he was positive, and she was very concerned because once she found out she was infected by him and approached him, he did tell her that he was going to continue to infect other people. So she went through the court system to hold him legally accountable, and this was a very emotional journey for her, and focused a lot of our discussions on it, and this picture kind of represents that. And they had given him 30 years, he gets no chance of probation. I made it clear that had I not went through this and said anything, he wouldn't have stopped, because I know him personally, and basically after I told him, he told me he was still sleeping with somebody. So these are all the letters. It took them a year and some months. I was out of work. His papers and letters are what she had to represent this struggle. This is a photograph from a woman who wanted to show a challenge, just HIV always being present in her life, but also then how she feels hope. So it starts to get at that theme of transformation. So sometimes I'm still in the dark. I get in my mood about HIV, and I feel like I'm not going to be able to do it. I've been diagnosed for 5 years, and I still go back to that day when I find out and get emotional. But she also says, there's light at the end of the tunnel. This picture's of the daylight. When I took this picture, I was thinking about growing the trees. It takes years for a tree to grow, and I'm still growing. This is a really powerful story about transformation as well. This woman took some pictures of buildings in her environment to make an analogy between the buildings being reconstructed and herself. She says, I'm still here. This shows how much knowledge, how much better I'm doing, how much knowledge I'm getting. My mind has opened up so much. They gave me 3 to 6 months to live. I was down there laughing at the doctor's office when even the doctor gave up on me, because I'm still here. I weighed 35 pounds when I got out of hospice, 35 pounds. That's why they counted me out. They carried me around like a baby, and that's what they did until I started getting up trying to walk. They gave me a cane, and from then on, I threw the cane away until I was running, and I'm still running. The images are really helpful in sort of being concrete for people in that they were at this place, but they could get to another place. So moving on, the pictures were also really a sort of way for women to account for the problems that were going on around them and figure out how they were going to solve them. And this was not limited to problems or challenges in women's individual lives. They also used the photographs and, of course, the exhibit to try to address challenges in the community. So here's some sub-themes here, and I'll give a picture that shows an example of each of these. Women wanted to motivate others, educate others about HIV, play a part in decreasing stigma, and taking social action to solve problems. So this picture, this woman has this little shoe collection. Every time she has an accomplishment, she gets a little shoe. And she's been through a lot and just wants other women living with HIV to know that they can achieve these small accomplishments too. She said that the most important part of the project for her was just to share her story. For others with HIV to hear my story and know that you're not alone. You're not the only one. If I can overcome this, I've had comas, blind, near-death experiences, if I can overcome being out on the streets, losing my house, having nowhere to go, people criticizing and ridiculing me, you can overcome it as well. Medication, pretty popular topic of conversation. This woman was very interested in educating young people. The first is all the pills that she's ever taken. The second picture here is the pills she's taking right now. And she just thought this would be a powerful education piece versus talking to people about condoms. Show them these pills. Would you rather be stuck taking a bunch of pills all your life or wrap it up and wear a condom? It's simple. Sometimes you can take the simplest thing and people pay more attention. This picture, this is a woman who was not comfortable photographing her face and photographed her shadow. And for her, it was really about sort of communities needing to understand that there is a face behind this illness. And she hoped that this would sort of encourage people to see the human side of HIV. This last series of pictures is a really amazing story. This was a woman who wasn't very vocal when we started the project, but she really kind of took off. She there was a couple buildings in her neighborhood that were run down, and she thought they were a source of some violent behavior. Her and other mothers were concerned because children were, like there was a child that was raped behind the building. So what she did was she took a series of pictures of these buildings and sort of led the efforts in her neighborhood to get them torn down. And in this is a picture of the buildings being torn down, and in its place she got a community garden put there in her name. And this project wasn't very long. It was only 3 to 4 weeks, so it was pretty amazing that she had kind of gotten to this point. And this is her talking about her experience of just taking action like this. And she said, if you open your mouth and talk to them, the local leaders and politicians, instead of just talking to each other, things will happen. A lot of things will start changing. If you keep it to yourself or just talk amongst your neighbors, it's not going to get anything done. Closed mouths don't get fed. And when I talked to her about just the effects of taking part in this project, she said, I like looking at the picture of the buildings because it lets me know that I can do something. I can actually complete it and feel good about it. When I get depressed about my HIV, I can look back at the pictures, like the buildings or my kids' pictures, and it'll put a smile on my face because I know I don't have to sit here and stress about HIV. I don't have to sit here and worry. I can live as long as I want, as long as I stay healthy. Pictures give me a positive thought about things I can do in my life and not be down and out and stressed and depressed. I've been doing these projects for a couple years now. I started doing them in Philadelphia, and now I'm in Missouri. And they really just surpassed all my expectations. Like I said, I got into this because as a health educator, I felt like our programs really needed to be better informed by women's needs. And certainly I did learn that through this project. I think I can echo what the excellent presenter said in the first discussion. Women, there's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of stereotypes about what it's like to be living with HIV. These women are usually pinned as sort of poor or helpless or incapable. And I mean, I have to say that the overwhelming message, especially when they could give it to you in an image, was, you know, we are healthy, we are strong, we are capable, we can do things, we can solve major problems. And I think that particularly in HIV prevention, and this isn't always a bad thing, but we look at the risks, we look at the problems, and we focus on that. But I think that that sort of resiliency framework really resounds more for people because they want to have those sort of strengths cultivated versus always that focus on what's wrong. So that was a very important take-home message for me. This was an extremely powerful way for the women to represent and re-identify themselves again in the midst of sort of that stigma that was surrounding them. And in the follow-up interviews, the women, this wasn't a research project for them. I was learning from it, but for them, it was giving them a new skill, something to do, a concrete way to look at their problems, and just feel like they were in control and could get something done. So it was it's a really wonderful method to include people in and also learn from. So that's just my acknowledgments. Obviously, special thanks to the women. Beyond this project, the women did a number of things. A lot of them did radio interviews, TV interviews. A couple of them have come to do lectures with me at the university. So they've really all been wonderful, as well as my kind of colleagues at CAPS. And that's it.